The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win.
Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Monday, July 19th, and we've got an awesome finals game to talk about. We're talking about Space Jam. We're talking about Loki, talking about all kinds of fun stuff. As always, Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by my good friend, LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, Bubbas?
And Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. How we doing?
I'm Cardi B, a.k.a. Mike. Let's just kick it off, man. The Bucks are up 3-2. What an awesome, awesome game five that was. How are you guys? I just want this series to go seven. That's my overwhelming emotion right now. How do you guys feel about the game, Tyler?
I'm not sure if it's going to go seven. You know, it kind of goes back to what I said about game one, where, you know, Phoenix had like a fucking 15 point lead the whole game, but it never really felt like, you know, like their foot was really on Milwaukee's neck. And we had the same shit, you know, last game where they ended the first quarter, you know, being up on the Bucks by like 15. Then the Bucks had a fucking 43 point second quarter. We saw like a fucking 25 point swing where the Bucks, you know, went from being down 15 to being up 10. And just that motherfucking play from Drew to fucking Giannis, bro. That one play is exactly why you brought Drew on board. If Drew's defense won them a road finals game, you know what I'm saying? Like, that one play right there is totally worth the whole Drew experience. And Drew had a great game too, but that motherfucking play, like, and let's give it up for Giannis, bro. Back-to-back games where he had to decide and play that ridiculous block on Ayton and then that ridiculous hoop that he caught. That boy is hooping, man. Hooping.
The weed told me that the last 30 seconds of the game were going to decide the series. And I believe that. I think, you know. The weed don't be lying, dog. The weed be telling the truth. Yeah. So, I mean, dog, I think they snatched the heart out of fucking... I mean, dude, Booker had what? 40 last night.
Yeah, 40.
You know what I'm saying? Ayton had 20.
Back-to-back 40 burgers.
You know, back-to-back 40 burgers. Only person to do that in the finals and lose both games, nigga. You feel me? Mm-hmm. Chris Paul had 20 and like 11. We're just used to Chris Paul giving like we can't expect Chris Paul to go 36 and fucking 15 every night with zero turnovers. That's abnormal. This was a Chris Paul game. Ayton had an Ayton game. And they got beat. You know what I mean? Mike, what are you thinking? I mean,
I want to talk about the dunk for like 10 minutes. So I'm trying to decide, should we talk about the dunk or should I say I thought Chris Paul was ass for parts of the game?
I don't think he was ass. I think the thing is, if the Bucks are the Bucks and the Suns are the Suns, the Bucks are just better. If Drew Holiday is playing like that, there's no way the Suns have a fucking chance of winning. You know what I mean? Like what Drew, like, that it's just, I don't see who else is going to step up.
I think... And we have been a very pro making fun of Coach Bud podcast, but I think the Bucks sold out early on rattling Chris Paul, picking him up fucking 80 feet from the basket, had some dumb fouls, even, you know, running really aggressively at him.
Frustrated. Yeah.
But I think it's exactly what Tyler said after game four. They're knowing if Chris Paul does not have a great game, then DeAndre Ayton cannot have a great game and the Suns can't beat them. If DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker don't go off, you know what I mean?
And that's the thing we want, DeAndre.
I know CP3, Chris, he had, I think they listed him with one turnover. He had like five turnovers though. You know what I mean? He had five like really
not the
brutal
best basketball decisions,
a bad pass that deflected off someone, went out of bounds. Like, you know what I mean? Just not in control. And I think we always talk about when he is at his best, which he was through the Western Conference Finals when we were talking about the Suns fans are going to want to elect him the mayor or whatever. He was in control of everything. You just don't feel that way since they've been just throwing Drew and
he was having like 16 point fourth quarters and shit. Like, that's not Chris Paul's game. You know what I mean? He was playing non-Chris Paul basketball. This is the best ball we'd ever seen Chris Paul play at 36. Now he has Jrue Holiday on him. And he got 20 and fucking 11 with one turnover. That's a good game. You know, if you need eight and a fucking go 20 and
you six, don't feel like he had a good game, though.
No, I mean, I don't think he had a dominant game. I think he had a good game. I mean, it wasn't dominant, but it was a decent game. Like, look at Chris Paul's stats. He probably is like 16 and 8 throughout the year. That's why it was ridiculous when people were saying he was a MVP candidate to me.
Right.
I mean, this is a Chris Paul game. Ayton played an Ayton game. Booker went off. You know what I'm saying? And they, like, they're just not good enough to play when everybody on the Bucks play team is playing good basketball. If Jrue Holiday shows up, it's a wrap. I think if we look at stats where Jrue Holiday's played good games, they probably haven't lost.
What do you think, Tyler, about? Because I think that's the key for game six, right? I mean, like, if Book's going to give him 40, they have to win, which means he's going to be on Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton. What do you think of how CP3 played and what the ceiling is, I guess, for the next game, Tyler?
Yeah, I mean, you would think if we said, you know, Chris Paul's going to have a 20-11 game, Book's going to have a 40-point game, you would think Phoenix wins that game, right? If we told you easily that beforehand. Too. You know, you're right. You would think they win it by like 15, probably.
You think they scored 37 in the first quarter and like
yeah, but that like look, that second quarter, that 43-point quarter they gave up, bro. That was the backbreaker. And Giannis only had like 3 points that quarter. Like everyone on the Bucks was eating that quarter, bro.
Yeah. It was like I love track and field, and it was like to me the most exciting thing in sports is a 4x400 relay, and it's like watching a great quarter miler just walk down someone's right. lead. You know what I mean? It was mm-hmm. just like, oh, you scored 37 in the first, completely unconcerned about it. Like right, we're going right, to eat right. the lead up 5 minutes into the second quarter. It was just like, you just don't, I mean, frankly, even that's what's been so fun about this series. You just don't usually see it, especially on the road in the finals for a team to be that unfazed. You know what I mean? Like this is game five, like this is practically a championship game. And they were just like, okay, cool. We're going to do the same thing.
if they're expecting 36 out of Chris Paul, and we're expecting 36 out of Chris Paul and another 20-20 game from Ayton, like to win a game.
I think you're
and a 40-point game from Booker, nigga.
I think what you're expecting from Chris Paul, if you want the Suns to win, and I do think you have reason to expect it based on the way he's played in the playoffs, is you're expecting him to get to the elbow when he needs to. You're expecting him to put the cams in good position. You're expecting him to put guys in position to knock down open threes. You're expecting him to make it easy for Jay Crowder, right, to catch one on the trail. And he just didn't do it in the fourth quarter. And I'm not saying like, obviously the Bucks won because the Bucks played a great game. I'm not like saying it's on Chris Paul, but I do think that's what you're not looking for. The way they're going to win game six is by playing better defense and for Chris Paul to be more even-handed in the fourth quarter. It's not going to be by hoping Devin Booker scores 50 instead of 40, in my opinion.
I think the thing is the defense. I think it's the defense. That when they're playing like great team defense, you know, getting turnovers, that's when they win. And we haven't seen that as much. You know what I mean? We saw it in the first quarter, and then the Bucks switch it up real quick. You know what I mean? But we haven't seen that as consistently. And we talked about that. If you're going to win a finals, you know what I'm saying, playing defense is very difficult. And they don't have a Bron or, you know what I'm saying, to be like, all right, nigga. You know, once it gets closer, like, step on the gas, you know, pick his spots real well. Like, they don't have that, how the Lakers had it last year when they won, you know, the finals with great defense and not the best offense. You know what I mean? So, Chris Paul's supposed to be that guy. But, you know, he's not Bron, my nigga. 20-11 from Chris Paul is a great game. And these guys talking about, like my guy Jay Crowder, the NBA me, you know, Boss what I mean? Boss Man 99. No, like he had some looks. Man. He had some looks. He was hitting them in the first quarter. He wasn't hitting them. Mikal Bridges had some looks. You know yeah. what I mean? Like these guys had looks.
So, let's talk about Tyler said it. Like Giannis has two signature plays in back to back must win final games. I know that It's like basketball is a complicated intellectual sport, but it's also like who did the cool shit at the end of the game that I'm going to remember. Yeah. Like yeah. Giannis has those plays in back-to-back games. How many times, Tyler, have you watched the father stretch my hands? Giannis clip, bro.
I watched that shit about 50 fucking times. That shit is art, man. Yes. That shit is art. Listen, bro, when that shit happened in real time and Giannis stared the camera down, bro, I yelled. I was like, yo, I fucking love that from Giannis. Like, I know y'all said y'all don't have a horse in the race in these finals. I am 1,000,000% pulling for Giannis, bro. That is my guy, man. I love that dude.
I actually got chills when he looked into the camera. Like, after that dunk, Bron sitting on the sideline, he looks into the camera and flexes. I'm like, nigga, we've seen something special. Is the universe shifting, motherfucker? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, but I mean, it felt like a moment. You know what I mean? It felt like a moment. But yeah, that shit was crazy. I mean, him staring in the camera, flexing. I remember straight. I was like, oh, I like froze for a second. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was praying, nigga. And he's Predator. You know? And he's on a fucking TV. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? I was scared, nigga. I'm like, oh, shit, nigga.
Bro, he's having a finals for the ages. Like, his last four games, 40 burger, block that oop. You know, he's averaging 32, 13, and 6 on 61% shooting. It, like I said, a fucking finals performance of the ages. I don't give a fuck about the bag shit or whatever the fuck motherfuckers talk about. Get the fucking rock in the bucket, and that's what he's doing at a 60% rate for 32 a game in the finals, bro.
You can't rep drills in the gym to get that block in your bag.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Right. Like
I
you
want
said,
the bag
you,
that has that open. Guys.
Right. Exactly.
Here's the this is from Basketball Reference, the complete list of players who've averaged 30 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists over a 5-game finals stretch to start. Kareem did it in 74. Bron did it 3 times. And Giannis is doing it right now. That's it.
Goddamn. And Giannis had a regular Giannis game and he had 32. It didn't feel like an overwhelmingly like Giannis game. The nigga had 32 points last night. We're not even talking about that. 26 a night before that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Like, he's on that Bron tier where you've got to get 43 and 18 to impress us now. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Like that's where he's at. That's the rare area that he's in right now.
I did
put
think
our nose up at 32 points. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Crazy.
I did think, and you know, Jrue Holiday, as we mentioned, obviously had an incredible game, 27 points, 13 assists. But I did think the 6 assists from Giannis were loud assists too. You know what I mean? Like, he was facilitating so well. But it does come down to the end of the game and that last play that you remember, because those 2 free throw misses could have also been the thing we were talking about, you know, going to game 6, because that shit was brutal.
Yeah,
three, excuse me. Yes.
Yeah, Middleton missed one too.
Well, Giannis also missed the one that was so bad that it gave him the chance to back tap it.
That shit, right? That motherfucker jumped off the rim like, bitch.
But I want to talk a little bit more about the dunk. One of the things that's fun to me about basketball, and it used to be that this took a day or a week, is there's the game and then the replay in the game, and then there's the photos. And the photos, now we get to see fucking 10 minutes after they're taken or whatever. But the photos of that dunk with Chris Paul trying to push him, which we'll talk about.
Yeah, that dirty motherfucker.
But the background of the photo is exactly what John was talking about. He turned us sitting at home into prey, but it was like a horror movie for the Suns fans. I mean, there are women literally covering their faces as he, covering their eyes. I mean, there's a woman like, I'm trying to remember one of the people on Twitter that we all fuck with tweeted, like, this is how dudes expect you to act when you go to a scary movie with them. You know, there's like a woman fully like shivering against her husband's chest, like, no.
And there's American flag fucking face mask right by Bron, and she's like,
the humanity.
Right. Yeah. You have never, nigga.
But you said it. Go ahead,
Tyler. I was going to say, I love, if you look at the slow motion replay of that, I love the way Giannis's face lights up once he sees Jrue got the steal. Did y'all peep that? There is just like childlike joy on his face in that moment. Like, he's like, and he's just trailing, and then he pulls that play off to top it off, man. An all-time great finals play.
Yeah, it absolutely was. And it was directly in front of Braun, who just happened to be sitting on that end of the court, which I would not have thought, because it meant that he was not sitting across from the Suns bench. You know what I mean? He's sitting on that end of the court, and his face is almost completely covered, but you can still see in his eyebrows, there's this look on his face watching Giannis up there. And it's like, that might be the torch.
He's calculating, bro. Yeah, that was, I mean, I think the Braun part was like, oh, like that's not an accidental setup. You know what I mean? That's the movie. You know, if we write it out and if we put Braun in that situation, we'd be like, shut up, bitch. Why is Braun going to be at that finals game in the front? You know what I mean? But this is real life. You know what I mean? And he did, that's just fucking, I think that's, I don't know. Like I said, it felt like a moment. In the moment, it felt like a moment. It's not you look back like, wow. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That was crazy. If in the moment, it was like, you know what I'm saying? Like, uh-oh, yeah. This is something, you know?
Yeah.
I think like old heads talk about the difference between the game under the rim and over the rim, right? Like, oh, you know, I couldn't play today. We didn't play over the rim. We didn't play above the rim. Giannis has like an area that's above and to the side of the rim that should not be habitable, because no one should be flexible enough to jump that high and then bend under the backboard. And he has a block and a dunk right there up above the rim off to the side against the backboard that I don't feel like most people could survive if you just like put them up there and pressed play. You know what I mean?
What do I do now? Right?
Right.
How do I land? There's a lot of thinking goes. He just does it naturally. That's pretty crazy. I mean, he had another crazy block too. I think it was against Mikal Bridges that didn't count. That I was like, how the fuck did he get to that shit? Giannis. I know like I'm not sold out on like, I want the Bucks to win. Like I said, this is the most, it is what it is finals for me ever. You know what I mean? But like, I've never had more fun watching Giannis than right now. Y'all know I love Booker. I think that nigga is special. You know what I mean? And to see him put up 40 balls and be just left out to dry like that is a boost. I feel like, you know, hey man, like what Giannis is doing, I'm enjoying the fucking the street shark, man. You know what I mean? That bag is good enough for me, I tell you. I like the street shark bag. You know?
The street shark shit gonna be funny forever.
Hey, but Mike, you were saying, I said yesterday, like how it has to be wild to see these aliens playing for kids. You know what I mean? And you were like, we did. You know what I mean?
Well, we thought we did, right?
We thought we did.
I thought Charles Barkley was Kevin Durant when I was 8. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I mean, we saw some greats. Obviously, all-timers.
I can't believe how old we were at that Jordan 1, you know, that shit. Like, you know, that was mind-blowing at the time, right?
Right,
and
right.
And that shit happens, you know, that's par for the course in today's NBA. Like, that's not really a special play, you know?
If Vinny saw that, he'd be like the highlight, he'd be like, where's the highlight? Right. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't see the highlight. Like, we're talking about a league where like AD is like what, 8th best player in the league this last season, maybe.
I put him a little higher than that, maybe.
But I know what you mean. He would have been in 1994. He would have been like arrested. You know,
right. You would have burned him in the 90s, dog. You feel me? Like with George playing, like no, this doesn't. It's supposed to exist. You know what I mean? We would have did, you know, research on the motherfucker, looking for extraterrestrial shit inside of that motherfucker. You know what I mean? But
yeah, like
I can imagine being a kid watching these guys do these things. Like watching a Giannis would be fucking wild.
Yeah.
At like fucking 12 or 8 years old, you know?
Like the closest physical archetype to Giannis from the era that we grew up in is probably David Robinson. And imagine David Robinson doing the shit that Giannis does. You know what I mean? Right. Like in fucking 1990.
But you're right. If you put those dudes at 25 years old next to each other, I think you're absolutely right in terms of body type. But in terms of how people use those bodies, it's a completely different thing. Like
David had what, 71 game, and it was just a bunch of like, you know, pump fake jumper, you know, layups, bangs, you know, very fundamental shit that Giannis gets the ball 3/4 quarter of the court, you know, another free throw line. One dribble and a Euro step, and he's booming on niggas. What the fuck?
I think I don't want to fully say what the experience has been showing Vinny Michael Jordan clips, because it's like he's 8 and it's not fair for he creates a Twitter account in 10 years and people are going to remember what I say right now. But like, this is not right. This is not accurate. But it's a little bit like showing Emmitt Smith highlights to people, to a kid, if I'm being completely honest with you, because the stuff that I'm showing him,
his feet are great. You know?
If I'm showing him this stuff, like, can you believe he did this? And he's just like you said, I mean, dunking from the free throw line, incredible. Like moments I'll never forget in my life. He watched Giannis dribble once from the half court to dunk like 30 times this year. You know what I mean? Like it's just a different game in terms of the athleticism, in terms of the skill and the will and all that other stuff. I mean, there's a reason Michael Jordan is Michael Jordan, right?
Yeah,
and
but there was just Michael Jordan as far as that skill, right? Like he was way more skilled. I mean, he was just unstoppable. There are so many guys that have like elite all-time skill. You know what I mean? Like the fact that Giannis is Eurostepping.
At 7'10".
Oh my God, nigga, you shouldn't even be able to do that move. You should make it illegal for niggas like that. You know what I mean? Like from the 3-point line, you know what I'm saying? Like it's just insane, bro. This league we're seeing is so fucking special. And the kids are going to think this is regular. Like James White dunked in a McDonald's All-Star game dunk contest. He jumped from the free throw line with 2 hands. The dude that played at Florida, 2 hands in like 2003, nigga. You know, something like that.
You remember the, who is that? The classic, the Zach LaVine dunk contest?
Yeah,
with Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon.
Yeah.
Zach LaVine is fucking you know windmill and from the free throw line now. Like what the fuck is going on?
At the Ball Is Life All American game, which was held in Long Beach, he did the exact same dunks in the exact same sequence when he was in high school.
Goddamn.
That's the world. We actually have a video up of it on our YouTube. You can see the exact same dunks in the exact same sequence, and he did not miss one. It was the most electric shit I've ever. The whole place is going crazy. This is a high school dunk contest, bro. Someone's supposed to win it with a windmill from mid key. You know what I mean?
Right. And, I mean, they're supposed to jump up straight.
Right. And then throwing it off the side of the backboard and windmilling in high school. You know, like it is just a different. It is different. So the last thing before we stop talking about the dunk, though, that I did want to talk about was Chris Paul's push. Tyler, I know you had some thoughts. First of all, before we even talk about it being dirty, I just want to point out it's a stupid play.
Yeah.
If he just lets him dunk, the Suns get the ball back down 3.
Yeah. It was stupid and dirty. You're pushing a dude midair by the waist. Come on, bro. Like, it felt like a frustration foul. It feels like Chris Paul, I want to say, is better than that, but I don't think he is better than that. He should know better than that. You know what I mean? But yeah, you know, like I said, it was dumb on top of everything else. So, you know, giving up a fucking dumb play, you know, a dumb foul, crunch time over finals game, and it was dirty. So just what the fuck, Chris? Cliff.
Cliff. 2011 is a cold world out here, dog.
Yeah, it's like we both said we were, you know, we all said we were, you know, kind of rooting for Chris Paul to maybe get a ring here. And then at that moment, I was like, you know, I don't give a fuck if this guy, this one, especially with how much I love Giannis. Like, you know, you're directly going at the dude who I'm just, you know, enamored with at this moment with that shit. It's like, cool.
That clip we talked about on the last episode went viral again of him talking to that little girl. And I watched that about 3 times, to be honest with you, because that, I mean, and I told you guys in the group chat before the game, this is a finals. Like, I'm just letting myself be 12 years old. I'm rooting for whoever won most recently, like go Bucks. You know what I mean? Like the Bucks are so fun. Giannis is amazing. If Book comes out and drops 55 in game 6, let's go Suns. Like, I don't give a fuck. There's no historic rivalry between, like, you know what I mean? I have nothing against anyone in this series. There's a lot of people I like on both teams. I'm just enjoying the fuck out of it. But Giannis is just I don't know, man. I honestly feel really lucky that we have him in the league for a while. As a father, I feel really lucky because Vincent loves him. And as I've said on this podcast, I will consider it a major failure if my kid is looking to pro athletes for leadership or examples or, you know, whatever the fuck. But at the same time, it's nice knowing that the players they look up to are good people, you know?
That quote about selfishness and humility, like, what? It's the way that funny. Motherfucker just lives, thinks. Woo! That I like.
The
like,
Greek philosopher.
Like, when I when I fucking heard that, I felt like you said, like you're saying, you felt like a kid watching this. That's how I felt watching the fucking clip when he said that. I straight up, I love this guy. I think even the octave is correct in me imitating myself right now, nigga. I was extremely fucking excited just to hear him say something that was that beautiful.
The quote was, and I want to point out that this was not him. This is not a quote he gave to someone doing a sit down interview with him where he'd been thinking about it. Someone asked him,
right?
Like, how do you stay in the moment? Like a very regular press conference quote. And at a press conference, he was like, well, I think when you dwell on the past, that's your ego. And when you think too much about what you're going to do in the future, that's your pride. So it's all about staying in the moment, in the present, and that's humility. And
bars, nigga, bars.
Have you gotten advice that good over the last 12 months of your life from anyone else? Like,
no. Yeah. This nigga just caught that oop into the game in front of Bron, flexed in front of the fucking camera, and that's the nigga that gave that fucking advice. The nigga that turned everybody in front of the camera to fucking pray. That nigga gave that advice. I mean. That's like the guy giving that type of advice, and the kids are listening and watching this shit. Bro, I fucking love that, dog. I like that moment right there. That was special to me. Like you said, he was just asked. It was already there. He wasn't trying to flex on nobody. That's just how he sees life and the game. And I just, bro, that's special.
He got such good perspective on every fucking thing. You know, like I won't say I don't know how people can hate Giannis because motherfuckers hate everything, but it can't be fun to hate Giannis, right? Because he is just so aware. He doesn't have an ego. It's like whatever jab you throw at him, he's probably going to just, you know, shoot honest with you. Like, you know, people talk about how, you know, clogging the lane stops him. And he's like, yeah, you know, defenses have figured out how to slow me up, but, you know, I'm getting better at countering that. You know, people clown his air balls. He said himself, bro, I airballed it twice back to back in Oklahoma City. We can only go up from here. Like, you know, people try to throw a jab at him by saying Middleton's the closer, you know, all that alpha dog bullshit. And Giannis gave us a story about how, you know, he was like, yo, I'm so grateful for Chris. Great teammate. He's one of my closest friends. He told me, we had a private conversation when he told me when he's going to retire, and I'm going to cry when that happens, right? Like there is nothing, it cannot be fun to hate a guy like that, bro. It can't.
Like, let's be honest. We all love Bron, but I could see how at times it would be really fun to be a Bron hater.
Yeah.
But like, you know what I mean? Bron gives you stuff where you're like, sometimes as a fan, you're like, man, I wish I could just...
Yeah. Also, like Bron fans are fun to clown. We're fun. It's
like 100%
fun to fuck with, bro.
But you know, it's exactly what Tyler said. Like, if you hate Giannis, like you have to look in the mirror at some point. I mean,
like you hear that quote. You hear that quote. You have kids, nigga. You hear that nigga say that in front of your children, and you still gonna be like, he missed two free throws in the game. That nigga gave your kids life advice, nigga. He ain't even talking about basketball. He's teaching them how to be good humans. Are you mad? You know what I mean? Because he said KD was the best player in the league. What the fuck, nigga? Bro, it can't be fun. It has to be miserable. It has to be a very difficult. You have to try every day to hate this nigga. Bro.
You're watching the clip of him.
You side, have a, you know, a list. Hate Giannis. You gotta check that shit off every morning when you wake up, nigga. Because you got to remind yourself, because that nigga is beautiful, bro. He's a beautiful person. I love that man. Man,
he gets out of the autograph signing line to talk to that little girl, and you're like, oh, look at him holding up the line for the other kids.
Don't do it. Don't, you know what I mean? Fight that shit, man. Crazy.
What was the last finals you enjoyed as much as this one? We've all talked about how it's great watching Bron in the finals. It's great for me watching the Lakers in the finals, but it sucks, bro. Like I hate it. Like I didn't enjoy that, you know, like you're just miserable. So what was the last time you were just watching basketball, having this much fun?
That's a good damn question. Let me think, man.
2016 is my favorite finals moment, but it's also
it was stressful as fuck.
The most stressful moment.
Super stressful.
And you know what I'm saying? That's what made that moment great, because I hated myself the entire fucking series. You know what I mean?
You were like excited to talk about those games for a half hour. You were like, oh my God, what is the next game? How long do I have to breathe?
Right. So I guess like, but I don't know if I've ever, I said, I think being in the playoffs, I changed my perspective on basketball a little bit. So that's helped. But you know, this has just been fun. It does feel, like you said, childlike to a degree, where I'm just enjoying basketball, like watching the games, you know what I mean? Talking about it is a lot, but this game is fun. But yeah, like just watching the games, bro. I'm never smoking weed watching games, bro. I hit the joint yesterday. I'm high as fuck. I'm like, this is great. You're great. Giannis, you're great. Drew, what a play. You know what I mean? Yo, basketball. We're all winning. You know what I mean? That's what I'm on right now. I don't know if I've ever enjoyed basketball this much. I don't think I have enjoyed a final series this much. Yeah, I mean, can y'all remember a time?
It's stress-free. I usually have rooting interest on one of the teams to win. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And like I said, I'm all the way in here on Giannis. But even then, that's not stressful, because I know if the Bucks don't win this, that Giannis it's not going to break him. You know, he's got, like, you know, goes back to how he's got such a great perspective on things, that, you know, if he does lose, yeah, Giannis is going to come out better for it. He's going to come out a better person for it. And if he wins, oh my God. Like, what a fucking leap in his legacy. He's going to take 26 years old, two MVPs, Defensive Player of the Year, a ring, Finals MVP. That's a hell of a fucking resume, right?
Conversations.
So, yeah, it will be time for some conversations. But yeah, so you know, like you said, it's like I'm rooting for Giannis, but it's a stress-free rooting that I'm a part of, which is rare as fuck. So
yeah,
it would be Giannis though. You're stress-free rooting for, though,
right?
Because that's how Giannis would want it.
Exactly. You know
what I mean? this came up on social, but we didn't get to talk about it. After our conversation about what was going on with Giannis in those last two games, no professional comedian has ever said anything funnier to me than the way Giannis pronounced the word tinkle.
Tinkle.
I had to take a tinkle. Like... emphasize the K in a way I've never heard anyone do with that word. I was fucking crying laughing at that.
Giannis is, like, we've talked about how deep and insightful he is. Giannis is a funny motherfucker too. Like, do y'all remember when he posted that shit on Twitter of the bell his girlfriend got him to ring for head, and he was ringing like he's like the Greek freak is freaky too.
Fucking bell, dog. He was boxing that motherfucker, dog.
He's insightful, and he's a funny fucking guy too. Just seems like a great dude all around, man.
Well, I think you can see the love between he and his brothers too, but you can just tell that he was raised with love, because it's like, the downside of things doesn't occur to him. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he hasn't been in America long enough, or he hasn't been sort of poisoned by our puritanical shit enough to realize he might get in trouble for ringing that bell like that. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
He just thought it was funny, because it was.
He does not know the way American media works, and that's like his best attribute to me.
Yes.
You know, like he was not, you know, brought up under the fucking regime of, you got to think this way, you got to act, these are the things you need to say, this is the way you need to act. He's just out there being himself, bro. And did y'all see that picture that popped up like last week of someone just randomly posting a picture of when they ran into Giannis in like 2014 coming out the gym, and he had a water bottle. And if you zoom in on the fucking water bottle, he wrote MVP on that shit, bro. In 2014, man. Like, just the more I hear and learn about this dude, the more I like him. Like, fuck.
Yeah.
God damn, I love you, Giannis.
But it is a special athlete to inspire a fight or flight instinct in John and be like cuddly to where you want your kids to root for him, and you're just rooting for him as a person. Like, you don't see that very often, and I'm going to enjoy it for sure. Miran Fader, who's a friend of mine, has a biography coming out. We used to work at a paper together. She has a full length book biography coming out of his. Mike Breen shouted it out apropos of nothing. Which was like the craziest shit ever. Someone just worked on something and you hear Mike Breen shout their shit out. But what's your prediction for game 6 on Tuesday? You think we're, I, do you think we're going to get game seven, Tyler? You think the Bucks are packing it up? What do you think?
I said Bucks in six at the beginning, and I was ridiculed and laughed at. Nah, but I said Bucks in six.
You weren't ridiculed.
I wasn't. I know. I'm being extra as fuck. I said Bucks in six, so I'm going to stick with Bucks in six because, like I said, it goes back to that game one where I saw, you know, Phoenix hit the Bucks with their best shot, and the Bucks were still there. And we've seen that's been the story of this fucking series. I don't think they got anything from Milwaukee.
I have no fucking idea, and I don't care. I want as much basketball as possible. Hopes of game seven. I don't know, though. I don't know. You know what I mean? I think it's obviously is leaning towards the Bucks right now. And I want to say I was ridiculed and laughed at when I said it's the Bucks year. Did I not say that? And niggas didn't clown me for that shit. You feel me? Anyway, yeah. I went against myself the whole time after saying that because of the Suns. But you're like,
you clowned yourself.
People say, well, dude, then I'm like, nah, man, they ain't they different with Drew. And Drew won them games too. Oh, shit. Nigga, I'm starting to remember some things. But anyway, yeah, I don't know and I don't care. I'm just enjoying the basketball. I'll be high as fuck. Front row on my couch, you know what I'm saying? Enjoying every bit of it. So
the NBA finals are finally here and FanDuel Sportsbook has a championship offer you don't want to miss because during the finals, new users get 30-1 odds on the Bucks or the Suns to win their next game. That means you can win $150 on a $5 bet.
I think the Suns are going to bounce back in game six. Maybe that's just wishful thinking because I want a game seven, but I'm going to rock with Phoenix for game six.
With FanDuel Sportsbook, there are more ways to win on FanDuel during the NBA Finals. And when you do win, getting your money is a layup. You'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. Just sign up with promo code J to bet the NBA Finals with 30-1 odds. Once again, that's promo code J. That's J and J like Jenkins and Jones. To unlock 30-1 odds on either team to win their next game exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Disclaimer. Must be 21 and over and present in Colorado, Indiana, or New Jersey. Must wager in designated offer market. $10 first deposit required. $150 max bonus. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Okay. I haven't seen it yet. I'm assuming you guys haven't seen it yet. But I did want to briefly talk about Space Jam, A New Legacy. Because is there anything Bron can't make the people who hate Bron hate? Like he had people on Twitter talking about character development in a Bugs Bunny basketball. Like,
listen, bro, this whole discussion, I did not know that people seriously hold the original Space Jam in such high regard. Like, how are you looking at fucking Bill Murray running the pick and roll with Foghorn Leghorn and you are holding this up as some Marvel achievement of cinema, bro? I thought we all fucked with Space Jam because of how ungood it was. I thought that's what we were all in on it for. Like, it was one of those terrible movies that's enjoyable. I thought that was the deal with Space Jam. But motherfuckers are really acting like Scorsese directed that shit when they're holding it up to the new Space Jam. And I will never fucking understand that.
Bro. As a kid, I watched this
and thought it was
not good to me. Yeah. I was like, this is not good, bro. Like, I stopped watching Michael Jordan play basketball and went to my garage and started shooting around, like in my driveway, bro. Like, it was not good. So it's just really weird. You know what I mean? Like Scottie Beam posted a picture of her when she watched the first Space Jam and was like, this is who this is made for. Like, the kids. You at your big age are talking shit about a, like you said, Foghorn Leghorn and fucking, like, bro, like, nobody, like, why do you care so much is the weird part. But yeah, it's interesting how people, of course he's not good at acting. He's the best basketball player in the fucking world.
For I would add, by the way, I actually do think he's good at acting. And I haven't seen Space Jam yet. No, what, he was in something with Amy Schumer. He was the funniest person in the movie.
It was great. This ain't that, bro.
That's fair. But I'm just saying, like, I've heard professional comedians furious that this dude is so funny on camera. Because you don't need any other gifts, bro. Like, this is a gift for people who can't do the other things you can do.
But he was the foundation of this movie.
being funny is for people who can't dunk. That was the agreement.
Funny is for, right, that's for people who are on podcasts because that's what they can do. We can talk about basketball.
Because we can't play. You feel me? But no, like, this ain't, I watched it.
Oh, you did? Okay.
It's just, I mean, the fact that I finished it at my big age is interesting. You know what I mean?
Congratulations. Like,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, I mean, I came into it expecting it to sound like Jordan was when he was, that's how he was reading the fucking lines off a sheet of paper for Space Jam. And I mean, I got basically what I was looking for.
Okay. Yeah, I do. I'm with Tyler, first of all. Like, I don't know. People really, I should never be surprised if people are overly attached to their childhood. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that's just how people are. But yes, Space Jam 1 is like a funny, corny, like, piece of nostalgia. It's not a great movie. And yeah. Space Jam 2 is the same shit, bro. Like, it's just my kid is very excited to see it. Like, yeah. That's who they made it for. They made it to guarantee that he's a Bron fan and that he wants to watch the new Looney Tunes shit, whatever it is that Warner Brothers launches, right? Like, that's what it's for. It's not for me to talk about.
Yeah. It's special effects. The special effects were like wow. If I was a kid, why, you know, it blew me away. But yeah,
it's definitely nostalgia, and it's also people being full of themselves, because a lot of people think if they like something, that means that, you know, they have taste and this thing has to be good. Bro, it's cool to like things that are terrible, right? And Space Jam is not a good movie, and it's totally cool if you like it because it's fun. You know what I mean?
I just think a lot of people can't deal with it. We talked about this with I think with Miles Brown during The Last Dance, and he was talking about, we grew up at the last great time to be kids. And the point that I said was every generation of people who've ever been alive thought that. Like, mm-hmm. Our parents thought, oh, I'm so glad I grew up before cable television and I got to be outside. Like, you know what I mean? Like, our kids are going to think, I'm so glad I got to grow up when the internet actually connected. And you know what I mean? Like, everyone feels that way about the time that they grew up. And if you want to talk about, John just mentioned the special effects. If you want to talk about kids aren't impressed by the athleticism of 1990s basketball, try showing your kids Toy Story 1.
Or Jurassic Park.
They're like, yeah. And I'm like, explain. I mean, weirdly, Jurassic Park is one of the few movies that holds up because so much of the effects were practical. We're like, mm-hmm. robots and puppets and shit. Whereas like, try and show your kid anything with CGI prior to 2 years before they were born. It's like, did someone make this on their phone? You know what I mean? Like, compare the graphics in the 2K22 trailers to Toy Story 1. Seriously. You know what I mean?
Bro.
It's crazy.
Like when's the last time you watched Avatar? Because like that went down as like the most visually impressive movie ever, bro. I went back, I'm like, this shit looks like a fucking PS3 game. Like, you know what I'm saying? The CGI has just taken such huge leaps like the last decade, last 15 years or so. And yeah, man.
There was a video posted at like NBA Live. Like, we were like, this looks so real. And it was like fucking rhombuses, and you could see the triangles and the geometrical like shapes that were used.
Motherfucking shoulders were quadrilateral.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit crazy. But yeah, I mean, the point you were talking about, how every generation thinks that about their childhood is I remember there was just like this quote, and like in my stats class I had in college, every day they have like a quote at the beginning of the class, the teacher would put that. And one quote was like about kids, and he asked like, when do you think this was said? And everybody was like, 1950s or something. He was like 1638 or some shit. Like,
they were talking
about how, like, it might have been earlier when, you know, talking about how, like, the kids these days, da, 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 everybody thinks that, you know what I'm saying, about like their generation compared to the next. So, yeah.
Shar's dad was my wife's dad was a coach at Linwood High School for 50 plus years. And he told me he taught at Linwood High School. You know, if you don't know, he played tennis with the Williams sisters' dad. Like, mm-hmm. he was at Linwood High School when it was an all white suburban high school. He was there was an all black high school. He was there when it was a almost entirely Hispanic high school. And I asked him about, like, you've seen this incredible. You've seen basically the history of Southern California over a half a century. So what do you think? What was the difference in these different eras or whatever? And he said the kids are exactly the same. He's like, 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds have been exactly the same forever. Mm-hmm. The only thing that changes is the world they grew up in and their parents. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and I believe that thoroughly. I've only been covering U sports for 13, 14 years, but it's exactly, I would completely agree. Like Instagram's different, TikTok is different, but kids wanting to have fun and do shit with other kids is the same. It's like none of that ever changes. Here's my question. This is the opposite of what we've been talking about with youth. Tyler, what is the official age when men should give up on abs?
Gave up in my late 20s, bro. Once that metabolism started slowing down and it became a fucking unsurmountable hill to climb. Bro, I quit dead ass in the middle of an ab machine set. Like, fuck this. I'm done. I am done with trying to have abs. And I haven't looked back since, bro. I'll never have the washboard, but the goal is to, you know, not look pregnant. That's just where I'm at, bro.
I remember once you went and grabbed a bag of lettuce to try to stay in shape. And you, bro, what the fuck am I doing? And put the bag of lettuce back and left the fucking grocery store, dog. You're like, dog, I'm not trying this. Bro, I'm never giving up on that shit. I don't give a fuck what nobody says, bro. I'm never giving up on that, dog. I just
You still aim to have abs. You have abs.
Yeah. I mean, they ain't as tight as they used to be, but I mean, like, I've had solid abs.
You have abs if you go into the crescent moon position.
Yeah.
You kind of fold over on yourself. You have abs.
I flex my shit. You know what I mean? It's the sides for me. Like, I always been a side. Like, my abs are cool, but the sides is like the little, that should be fucking me up. But dog, I'm never giving up on that shit. If I eat right, I had the best abs I ever had like 2 years ago. Like flat out, dog. But I was eating like fish, like salmon and like uncooked spinach. And
is that when you were drinking the stem cell milkshakes?
Yeah, Bro, I mean, I see old ass niggas out here. Like, fuck that, man. I'm never giving up on that shit, bro. I might not have them abs ever again, but I'm never giving up.
Southern California has poisoned your brain. You see, because you will see in Southern California, you'll see like an old white dude on the beach, like 62 years old with abs that he probably has surgically grafted onto his body. But you see it and you're like, maybe if I cut down on.
In the Jeez. South, right. In the South, in the gym, though, you'll see one dude that's just like, how the fuck is this nigga 60 years old built like that? You know what I mean? You'll see some country strong motherfucker that's had abs coming out the fucking womb. So, like, I mean, I've always just, it's a goal. If I don't have it, it's not like, oh my God, I wake up in the morning thinking myself. But it's like, bro, it's just something to shoot for me.
I'm with Tyler. I'm looking to have, when I say abs, like two abs. I'm looking for the line sort of down the middle. You know what I mean? I want a left half and a right half of the stomach. I just love
what Tyler's, made you ask that? What made you ask that?
Because Tyler tweeted about the moment when he gave up, and I thought it was like the funniest shit. He was telling the story on Twitter about that. He said, I was in the middle of a set on the ab machine, and in the middle of the set, I was like, you know what? I'm tapping out.
I'm like, fuck this. Never again. I haven't looked back, and it's been so fucking liberating.
I appreciate, like, you guys know what samurai death poems are. I've talked to you about that. Like in ancient Japan, it was like a thing that like the samurai were philosophers. And so it was like, they would know when death was coming. They would be like in tuned enough to know I'm 88 or whatever. I woke up today. Today's the day. And that they would write a poem on the day that they died. And then like, not that long after, some of them would literally like write the poem and then die with a pen in their hand. Like that was the level of awareness about their body that they were cultivating. And I love modern American stories of that. Like, that was the day I knew I couldn't play basketball anymore. Like that was my, that was my samurai death poem for abs. Like,
That is fucking fascinating. Samurais are interesting.
That is beautiful. For basketball, is the patellar tendon tear. That's not
your, even your basketball story is not funny for sure.
That wasn't even with like just basketball. That was with life. That's when I was just like, I'm old. That's the first time I said it. Like, I'm 30. That was 34. I'm old, bro. Like, damn, nigga, that was a crazy realization right there.
It is all about the metabolism. Like, I used to, I sweat a lot when I sleep. I used to go to sleep and I just wake up in shape. Like, if I could sleep for 8 or 9 hours, I would wake up in shape, no matter what I had done the previous day or week. And then at some point it goes away and you're like, okay, so as my metabolism slows down, I have to exercise like 8% more each year just to stay the same. like, that fucking sucks. That doesn't seem right. I gotta run further.
Though, right? Like, diet is like, what are you putting into your body? If you change that, you're Gucci. You know what I mean? Like, we can't eat pizza every night and be cool, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Like, how sad are you right now, Mike? That face you made.
The if. Hey, we're going to the Bay next week. I'm going to the spot I told you about. Oh, I'm about to eat pizzas.
But I mean, that's like, you know, we can do that every so often, but like, we gotta just watch what we eat, bro. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not mad at it.
Okay. This week, we learned it had been falsely reported a little while ago, about Biz Markie, but he did pass away, last night. Tyler, you are probably one of the most knowledgeable people I have about rap. I know you have some thoughts on this. You know, what did you want to say about Biz?
Yeah, man. RIP to Biz, first and foremost, man, a legend. I think Biz Markie's legacy is he helped make rap fun, right? Like, you know, and, you know, rap was very young when he emerged, you know, mid 80s. You know, it was always, you know, tough guy bravado, still is that. And I love it. You know, that's not a jab at it. But you know, Biz Markie was you know, while rappers were talking about getting a girl, Biz Markie was talking about getting friend zoned on Just a Friend, right? Like, we didn't see that back then. You know, he brought comedy. You know, he made humor. I mean, he made rap lighthearted. And he was a dude who ran with tough guys. Like, he ran with Juicer. He ran with MC Shan. He ran with Kool G Rap, Big Daddy Kane. But he was a dude who never really took himself too seriously. And he had fun with the shit. And that's the biggest legacy that I think he left, is he made rap fun.
There's no one funnier than the funny dude who runs with hard dudes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That dude is always hilarious.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Season finale of Loki. I know we talked about it on the last show, but we've all gotten a chance to see the last one. Warning for any producers who are on who've not watched it. I don't remember if we're doing that or not, but what did you guys think? John, what did you think of the finale? Was it everything you were hoping it would be?
It was everything I was hoping it would be. It's like I figured it'd be a cliffhanger because they're heading into Doctor Strange and, you know, all of that shit. But like, I mean, I mean, it was what I thought it would be, but I didn't think it would be that. You know what I mean? Like, it was still shocking me in the fucking finale. And that's all I asked for. You know what I'm saying? It's like the writing to be solid and for me not to know exactly what the fuck is going to happen. You know what I mean? I thought it was great. I enjoyed every second of that fucking series. I wish there was two extra episodes or something, but, you know, I'm not mad at them not watering the product down. You know what I'm saying? To give us that. But yeah, it was great. I thought it was great.
I think my biggest takeaway from it is Jonathan Majors is going to be fun as fuck as Kang. Like, we are going to have so much fun with that dude as Kang. Like, what a performance he put on in. And just the leap Jonathan Majors just took from a relative unknown, you know, from a couple years ago to you know, the last man in San Francisco to the Five Bloods to now being, you know, the next Marvel villain. Like, what a fucking leap, bro. Like, we didn't really know who this dude was in 2019. Now he's an A-lister. You know what I mean? So shouts to Jonathan Majors. Yeah, definitely looking forward to Kang in this next phase.
And I say Kangs because they've confirmed he's going to be playing a bunch of those different variants of himself, which I think he definitely showed in that episode is something something to be very excited about.
You get paid more for that when you're
Eddie Murphy right. Made a joke after one of his movies that he wanted a paycheck for every role that he was in.
what movie was that?
One of the
Nutty Professor, probably.
Yeah, one of the Nutty Professor, yeah, one of the Clumps movie or whatever.
Nutty Professor. Yeah.
I love the finale. It's like Marvel is just doing this tightrope dance. I know Tyler and I have talked about this a few times. Of like, I was a comic book geek growing up, and I did not own one comic that had fucking Kang the Conqueror in it, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, they are going into their diehard shit for some of these twists and characters, but they're casting them well enough and they're writing them well enough that it's exciting. Like, I didn't give a fuck about Agatha Harkness. You know what I mean? But I love WandaVision. I didn't give a fuck about Kang the Conqueror, but like, they showed the statue at the end of that episode of Jonathan Majors as Kang. And I was like, I cannot fucking wait to see this movie. But I just think that's incredible because everyone's talking about like, oh, you know, they have all this existing IP and shit, but it's like, what's the highest selling comic book with Kang the Conqueror in it? You know what I mean? Like, you're talking about a mixtape cut.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's an album cut villain, right? He's not a lead single villain.
No.
Not a radio single villain. He's a track number 14 villain.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, even if you look at like Thanos, like there's a ton of kids who grew up the way we did on like, you read Batman, Spider-Man and Wolverine or the X-Men or some shit. You know what I mean? And they started going into the space stuff and the cosmic shit, and it works, bro. But it works because of like John's been talking about how good the writing is. You guys talked about exactly what I was going to talk about. John talked about how good the writing is, and Tyler talked about how good the acting is. Like, that's it. Like, and that's enough that, you know, you look at this stuff where it was less than two decades ago, comic book movies were afraid to put superheroes in costumes. You remember that shit in the X-Men movie? They're wearing black leather, and they made a joke about, oh, what do you think, we should be wearing spandex? And now they have Kang the Conqueror is going to like headline a billion-dollar movie. You know what I mean? His name is Kang the Conqueror.
Did y'all cover your eyes when fucking the Lokis kissed? How'd y'all feel about that?
I was grossed out by that.
That's so weird.
I was grossed out by that, but I knew it was coming though. So,
I'll be honest with you. I feel like I have a pretty good handle on the internet at this point. That conversation online did not go the way I thought it was going to go. I would say John won the debate on Twitter about
when it comes to online debates, nigga. I'm the most regular motherfucker on this podcast, bro. You know, I'm the voice of the people. You feel me?
That's not necessarily good to being the voice of the internet. I mean, that's a terrible fucking place, bro.
John is hornier and hungrier than any of you.
Right? It's a terrible.
I mean, I don't think we have fucking weirdos that fuck with us. You know what I mean? So I mean, it's not like we're the voice. I'm not the voice of the internet. I'm the voice of the weirdos that would decide to fuck with Jenkins and Jones, and we have the fun weirdos. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like. So I'm not mad at that. But if I'm the voice of fucking Twitter, the voices of Twitter are getting canceled in the future, dog. You know what I mean? Like, that shit ain't sweet out there, bro. The niggas is assholes. So no, that's not me at all. I hope not.
All right. I'm doing thumbs up for any producers who are listening that had not seen Loki yet. I should just ask.
One second, though. That last part I want to say is really interesting.
Yeah.
It's like when he gets stabbed.
Oh yeah,
he's like, see you soon.
Yeah,
that right there, I'm like, oh shit! I gripped my fucking seat, like, nigga, grab me in, nigga. I'm here for fucking 8 years of this shit, nigga. You know what I mean? Like, but yo, that was beautiful. And then him going into a different universe where it had already taken place yet. You know what I'm saying? Like. I love that. That's that interstellar shit right there. You know what I mean? Like,
you're gonna love this next crop of Marvel shit. It's like your.
I might
shit.
Geek out as much as y'all, which saying a lot, bro. Because y'all had. I didn't even know who the fuck Kang the Conqueror was, nigga. I ain't heard of most of these characters in my childhood, nigga. You know what I mean?
Right. I think that's.
Yeah.
I think that's true for most people. I mean, I think like there's very few. Mainstream people in media, like I know Jason Concepcion was like all the way dialed in on even the cosmic Marvel shit. But I mean, most people, like I said, you went to the comic book store as a kid and it was like Batman and Spider-Man.
Superman, you know.
No, not even Superman. I didn't know anyone who bought Superman. You know what I mean? Like
I bought the one when he died.
He died.
Like, I thought this might be that's the only Superman.
Yeah, I thought that shit was gonna put me through college. That shit's worth $20
now. I lost that shit 40 minutes and a half of that motherfucker, man.
You and 2 million other people thought that was the retirement plan right there. Right. You know what I mean?
And he died like 80 million times after that. I'm like, nigga, you fucking my money up, nigga. You know what I mean? God damn. I was even fourth grade when I bought that shit, I think.
The only shit that's ever worth money is that like someone bought a Super Mario 64 for $1 million, like an unopened one recently. It's only stuff that no one's collecting. You know what I mean? Like that's why the NFT shit, I didn't really buy into it. Cause it was like, no, because people are trying to make this worth money. So therefore, it's exactly like X-Men number one coming out. People a million people are going to buy
that
it.
NFT like, shit. It just ain't as buzzing like that. But I don't know the money.
I just don't think it's going to personally. Because I remember being a kid in the 90s when every comic book company was trying to sell people on that. Like X-Men number one is coming out. Like Spider-Man number one is coming out. It's like, but it's not Action Comics. Because Action Comics number one in 1930, no one was buying it. Which is why there's only 10 of them or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
I think this iteration of it doesn't work. The first iteration is the one that just kind of whets people's, you know, like people are just kind of getting used to it. Like the idea of it, now we understand it to a degree, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Non-fungible tokens exist, we know that. You know what I mean? It'll be like two iterations, you know, like from this, it'll be like, okay, this is the one that catches on, you know what I mean? All the way.
I buy that. All right, that's all the time we got for this episode. Thank you, as always, for fucking listening to Jenkins and Jones and fucking with us. We appreciate you. We'll be back on Thursday talking about either the Bucks as NBA champions or previewing Game 7 coming out that night. I'm happy either way, but thanks so much for listening to us, and we'll see you guys on Thursday.
Bye.
Bye.